Yeah. You know, let's just switch it up. How about this? How about this? For the first time ever. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Highland Demeter. A podcast about what was my like tagline? Critical play. Critical play and queer bonhomie. I'm B. You've heard my voice 1,000 times now. Or maybe this is the first time. Maybe you just jumped in at the finale.
Welcome.
To see what the fuck no one was talking about. I'm joined, as always, by the self-described second fiddle cry twin, Adam, playing.
How dare you?
I self-described. You said those words.
Okay, it was in the doc.
I don't give off main character energy. I give off better supporting actress energy. Mm-hmm. So,
and
I'm clearly the leader.
Will you tell our listeners your character's name and something fun that happened to you recently in your real life?
Oh dear. Well, let me pull. I am Marvin Cry, and something fun that happened. I graduated from grad school.
You did. It fucking rips.
It's been a fucking long time, mm-hmm. So it's about time.
Almost as long as the season has taken.
I mean, that's actually kind of true. and I just got back from Europe, so...
Oh. Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. What was the best Italian food that you ate?
I didn't go to Italy.
Well, then I guess we're going to talk to Ducky next, too.
What's the point of you being here next?
Salvo would be so disappointed. Ducky, what's your character name and what's something fun that happened to you recently? No, wait, hold up. I'm going to switch it.
Okay.
Hi, Ducky. What's your character name, and what's the best Italian food you've had recently? Do the round robin. Let's fucking go. Get this energy.
Fuck yeah. Hi, B. I'm Roger Cry. I am Martin's brother. Mm-hmm. Twin brother, I believe. And
what could cause the confusion?
Some good
that?
Italian food I had was actually last night. Some spaghetti with vegan meatballs at a restaurant. It was great.
Oh yeah. Then Ricky, that didn't really give me a lot to pivot on. Ricky, who's all over this goddamn Island Demeter thing, as we all are, but you are playing a character, and then I want for you to tell me what you were doing on this day 2 years and 6 months ago.
That feels like a really targeted question, because you know I remember what happened to me yesterday.
It's kind of rude, like, honestly.
2 years ago, September 28th. I'm just going to look at my calendar and see.
You gotta say your character name first.
My character's name is Pill. Mm-hmm. And... in September of 2022, on the 28th, I was on tour with Low and Divide and Dissolve.
Hell yeah.
Catching COVID for the first time and only time. So that's pretty cool. That was a pretty cool thing to do. Don't do that.
Pretty cool way to catch COVID, I have to say.
Lost my sense of taste and smell. And that sucked.
Yeah. The joke I was making is that it's been about 2 years and 6 months since we recorded the last thing you listened to, listener. And you will have heard me say, and if you listen to the back, you know, the post, the post credit sequence, the post music drop, that I will have this critical clue ready next time we play in about 6 months. Guess what? I ain't got that shit ready. We are playing Rue Detectives, a game by Emma... S- Yeah, just Emma. I was pulling up the PDF. Emma, who is at Dumpling Squid, or was...
Connor?
What's that?
Emma Connor, I think.
Oh, is it in there?
It appeared on... When I hovered on the link, Emma Connor.
Cool. Well, it's available at dumplingsquid.itch.io, I believe. Yes. And... We've had a lot of fun with it, and now we're done after we record this, no matter what happens. Agreed? Do I have your consent?
I'm here for it. Here for it.
And
yes, B.
And then and then maybe we'll reconvene in some other form at some point. You know, like, because we're friends. And we all like each other. So yes. I say all that to say, if we forget some stuff that just happened in your ears, like, 10 minutes ago, or whatever, or I guess we've already been going for 10 minutes, probably. Sorry. Our bad. We were doing it at the time, and then there was a 2.5 year gap, so.
Just send in correction emails for each one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Each thing we forget.
To,
a single email for each one. You don't remember my email address.
Ricky.martyr@... I not really particularly
fakeemailaddress.com.
Thanks. Always there to catch me when my bits just completely fail to launch.
I'm always there to catch B's bits.
Thank you.
That came out so not.
I'm just.
Yeah, that was interesting, but we're gonna move on.
Yeah,
didn't mean to do that. Didn't mean to even make a joke like that.
And there, and then in this moment, you can now hear when Ricky catches me when my bit flops. I'm not reciprocating. I just let that one go. Yeah. So. Barn scaring the shit out of Claudia. Roger and Marvin are in the storage shed, having received a key that has, and you know, I didn't look this up in the 2.5 years since. We didn't figure out if there's a name for the part of the key that you hold. Because, you know, the part that goes in the door is the teeth, but the part that you hold, I believe Ricky suggested handle, so I think we should.
That's what I was thinking.
Key handle.
Now I was thinking, I think it's just, I mean, the handle.
No. More things fucking change, you know? There's, on the handle has a metal, what do you call it when you do metal stuff?
Etching?
Metallurgy?
Yeah, a metal etching of of hay, because there's a mech that we very adequately described last time. Big, what was it? What did I text? Who's got it? Ricky, you had it last time. Yeah. Big mouth goat.
Big mouth
goat algae mech.
Big goat mouth algae mech.
Big mouth goat algae mech, because the mouth is a big and on top, and the goat is the bottom. Obviously. This is...
Clear.
This is like third grade
stuff. 101.
Yeah. And a thing I did think about in those 2.5 years is, I don't know how much of this I'm cutting out, but it's going to be some of it, I'm sure, that it was very funny to me that I decided to give Ricky and Ducky an extra track to run if they get a critical success. And then I gave Adam an extra die to roll, making sure that he's much more likely to get a critical success, but no extra track to run it down. Which was just like, you know, that's just fucking good game design, you know? Like,
yeah,
give characters like an incentive to roll, but not a better way to do it, or give them a better way to do it, but no incentive to do it. Like,
I mean, that's just honest. That's just like life. Mm-hmm.
Which is to say, I think the critical success you got there This is a pitch, I guess. Would you like to be able to help on either of their tracks that we talked about sort of beforehand, or would you prefer to make me come up with something else? Adam.
Me?
Yeah.
Help me with their tracks. I don't know.
Help what this... to advance the Echo Project with Pill, or help to advance the splitting the Cry Twins apart with Duck.
You know what? I'm going to do the diplomatic answer.
It's not splitting the Cry Twins. I thought it was splitting the other twins.
Sorry, the Lacrim twins. Yes.
Lacrim twins. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, well then duh.
I
mean,
I kind of figured
rivals. Are you two rivals?
Like, we're our rival YouTube channel, absolutely.
Yes, who are about to inherit a mine because of Ricky doing a steppy.
I think we need all the help we can get trying to get rid of the Lacrim twins if they're gonna have a mine.
Yes. Okay. I thought about that like a week ago, and then I forgot about it. And I'm glad I felt pinned into a scary place where I was like, how the fuck do we start this episode? Which gave me enough time to think about that again.
I am acting as a supporting character in this role.
Whose
track do you want to follow? Yeah. Either Ducks or Ricky's.
Cool. So we can figure that out on camera later. But just sort of keeping tally, we now have a success check in the Cry Twins break. God damn it, the Lacrim Twins breakup clock. And you got to do it today, because that's the first
one. All right. Here we go.
I guess the next thing as established was probably that Marvin was going to try to investigate the actual mech itself, because you sort of looked around the area in the barn and found that key, which I don't think is like the ignition key for the mech. I think it's like a key that unlocks like a box nearby that will give you like, you know, the gloves or whatever that you need to drive it, because it seems like it would be silly to put a car key in them, you know?
Right.
Do you want to do a roll, Adam?
Sure. Here we go. Where did my little thingy go?
As we all very clearly remember, because we remembered it so well, even when we were actively playing the game, to do a roll in Rue Detectives, you start with one die. If you're rolling, you have one die. And then we roll plus one die if you're prepared. This sounds like a pretty prepared thing to me. You did the setup roll basically already. Like, yeah.
Okay.
You roll plus one die if it relates to your talent. Do you recall what your talent is?
I sure don't.
I have it. Keen eye.
There we go.
Keen eye.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Where do you find those?
Yeah.
I have a Google Doc. I'll pop it in the chat.
Thank you.
Yeah, pop that in the chat.
I like the idea that you like Googled our like Island Demeter season 2.
Yeah,
and
just,
like,
exactly.
Found a Google Doc. Yeah,
just scrolled up in a thread I found.
Uh-huh. Walking encyclopedia. Nice.
There you go. Yes, and of course, Roger is handy. Keen eye, I could hear an argument for it. It doesn't strike me as immediately like you're
not particularly.
Yeah, you're not like you're not doing anything special with your eyes. You're just kind of investigating.
They're open. But yeah.
Yes. So that's one for prepared, one for doing the thing. You have your bonus. You get a plus one die whenever you do a roll with regards to a mech. I'm gonna say, probably applies here. And then, of course, the final check is you get an extra dice if someone is helping and successfully makes a help roll. Roger, you are in the barn. The last time you helped by basically just being a lookout. Do you think you could find a way to help here, or would you even like to?
Sorry, what is Marvin doing exactly?
Yeah, what is Marvin doing exactly?
I don't know.
What is Marvin trying to do?
Again, so you're in this barn, you have like sort of looked it all over, and the only thing of interest here is this mech. And so now you're sort of, you are investigating this mech itself, and I'm sort of assuming that part of what you're doing is like trying to turn it on, seeing if it works, like get access to it, but it could be It could be that you're trying to find a weak point. I don't know, like, that is up to you.
Okay.
Is it pretty tall? Is it like multiple?
Yeah. Do I need you to hoist me up into the cockpit? Take a look.
Yeah.
See if
yeah.
there's something in the cockpit.
That okay. absolutely rips. Yeah.
All right. There you go.
So, but now Ducky has to make a roll.
So, but that means I get two dice, right?
You will end up with one plus prepared plus mech, and then if Duck succeeds, you will end up rolling four dice.
Okay. She doesn't roll her own, and then whatever the result of that is whether or not the help is.
That is exactly correct. This is now we have to establish.
Okay, so I'm only three.
You're currently at three. Yes.
So wait, am I rolling two dice?
Yes. Well, first we have to decide whether hoisting up your bro is a rude move or a detective move.
Detective, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
You're aiding in detection. Yeah, that makes sense to me. And then we just do a normal dice thing. Also, prepared, yeah. Talent, no.
Mech, yes.
But Ducky doesn't have the mech die.
I see.
So that would be, yes, you just roll 2d6, and you are trying to roll over your number, which is 4.
Isn't the detective under?
Detective is over. I think we fucked this up a number of times over the course of the recordings.
Wait, okay. 1d6. That one wasn't working. One die. Okay. Two die. Oh, dear.
Duck, what do we got?
I got a 3 and a 1.
Heck yeah.
I think that's the wrong direction.
Got a 3 and a 4.
You know what that means.
It's a critical failure.
No. Duck's number is critical 4.
Success. A haunting. Oh.
Yes.
A 3 is in fact a haunting, yes. So you rolled one failure and one clue, which we have changed basically every recording, how that works.
Okay, great.
Ducky, will you give me 2d6? I gotta find my list of clues. Yes.
Haven't we gotten like an inordinate amount of clues that we also couldn't really use?
I was gonna say, because it's like a newspaper or something, you know.
funny you say that, because one of the things we talked about very early on is the first clue is a newspaper, and that is a number you cannot roll because you're rolling 2d6.
Two dice. Thanks, Emma.
This is a very clearly hacked together like game jam game. It fucking rips for what it's doing. There are some holes in it, and that's fine.
That's a pretty big hole. I can't roll, but yeah.
So I'm telling you what I rolled.
For this roll, you just add them together and give me the cumulative number.
Okay. 2, 3.
That's a haunted.
No fucking way.
It is not.
Okay. I was like, stop.
Ooh. You may also remember that me and Adam populated a list of clues when we did our sort of proto thing.
Sure did.
And because I hated coming up with clues so much.
I found that document.
Yes. Ooh. I think the way we were doing it last time, or maybe the time before that, is that you would just re-roll that one die and see if it becomes a success or not. So re-roll one die for me, Ducky.
Okay. 6.
Cool. That is a success. So, Adam, you are successfully being helped, or rather, Roger, you are successfully helping Marvin. Now, Marvin, you have one die for rolling, one die for being prepared, one die for it being a mech-related activity, and one die from your dear, dear brother lifting you up.
So 4 fucking dice.
Roll me 4d6.
Critical fail.
All right. And so I just tell you what the numbers are. 2, 4, 3, 4.
So that is a full success with a clue.
Still don't get it. Moving on.
you rolled a 3, which is your number, which means it's a clue.
I see.
Yes. Gotcha. So give me 2d6.
Oh.
And give me the sum of those numbers.
The sum?
Mm-hmm.
It's an 8.
Ooh. Oh, I guess I should say, because these are just like the actual book text. A 3 is a locked puzzle box. So that is what Roger's going to be finding when we have screen time for it. And an 8. Did you say 8?
I said 8, yeah. Fuck.
It's everyone's favorite.
No.
No?
What is that? I just don't like the way you're setting this up. It's being teed up in a bad way.
What's the most common clue you think we've rolled in this?
Oh, shit.
Business card?
Isn't it a business card? Sure fucking is a business card.
Oh, dear. The most useless.
So many business cards.
These online dice rolls are that random.
Well, you know, the thing is, a lot of games use a system called Powered by the Apocalypse, right? We have never actually played in that system. It famously is one of the first sort of like largely successful games that just move, or like systems that completely moved away from the 20-sided die. And the way you roll in that game is baseline, you roll 2d6 plus a number that's based on like modifiers, right? So it'll be like 2d6 plus 1, 2d6 plus 0 for a baseline. The way successes and failures are charted out in that is a 1 through 6 is a complete failure. A 7 through 9 is a mixed success, and then a 10 plus is a complete success. And you can sort of see that design lineage in this, right? Where, like, if you roll one success, you do it with complications. If you roll two successes, you do it well, good job.
I see.
If you roll three successes, it's a crit. The reason that distribution is 1 to 6, 7 to 9, and 10 plus is because
if
you roll two six-sided dice, 7 to 9 is the most likely number to come up. So it makes a lot of sense that we're getting a lot of 8s on 2
Yeah,
six.
But then why make the most useless fucking clue?
This is why I say one of the tenets of Island Demeter is critical play. Because I think it's important to do this while we play games. To talk about the systems. And sometimes we're fucking mean about it.
If you listen
to season 1 of Island Demeter, there's a game called You'll Find a Rainbow that was me, Ricky, and Syl. I have a poster of that game up on my wall. You can see it if you're in the call. We spent the first 40 minutes of that game ragging the shit out of that system. Just being like, none of this makes any fucking sense. Why would you make any of these choices? We spent the next 40 minutes of that game having the best time I've ever had playing a role-playing game.
When you, me, and Adam played
Moss Creeps,
wasn't it Monster? Oh, the high
one. I was thinking about the high schooler one where you had to like reveal.
Yes.
Yeah. Some like deep, dark yourself. Personal secrets. Yeah.
Yeah, and we were like, "Fuck this! I hate this!" or something at first, and then it ended up being like a very like touching and revealing.
It was.
But yeah, and then Moss Creeps, Stone Tumbles or whatever it's called is an inverse of that where we kind of blew up the game because we felt maybe like it was a little hippy dippy or something, but
it was
a great decision too.
To shout out, You'll Find a Rainbow was by River House Games. The episode was called Tingle Dies at the End. The high school game where Huey McGumphrey was created, who may be season 3, was called Bella with an Excellent Manicure. We played the game Erasure by Angry Nerd Girl, who I remember when I put it up on Twitter was just like, huh, I made that game to be unplayable. That's kind of neat that you did that. And then the game Anthony Ascendant and Anthony's End, which was me, Ricky, and Adam, and then Syl joined for the second half, was, yes, called Moss Creep Stone Crumbles by Adam Roy, who I also recall responding when I put it on Twitter, just being like, I fucking love it when people blow up my game. And I was like, that's good. That's a correct response.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even mean hippy dippy in like a critical way necessarily.
It was very tender. And like, there is a, I have a love for that in my heart, that, and I also have a much deeper hate in my heart for the tender queer sort of aesthetic. And, you know, and then y'all kept fucking talking about Ferngully, which was really annoying to me.
Well, I mean, I think that's what it was evoking. So yes. I don't really think,
You tried to kill Anthony off a lot of times.
I fucking did, and you did not let me. Anyway, we're playing Rune Detectives by Emma at Dumpling Squid, dumplingsquid.ish.io. And you rolled a clue, which was a business card, which is why we went off on this whole fucking thing. I got there. That one's, listen, this one's easy. You found Claudia's business card in here, inside of the cockpit of the mech, because you've successfully climbed into the cockpit, right? Which is interesting, because she is not a person who works on the farm, she's a researcher, and so her crawling around in a mech that I should actually say specifically, this is a the point of this mech is it kind of walks through the algae fields with two big spoons and spoons the algae in the water into its mouth. That's why it has a big mouth and it has goat leg, because I thought it was aesthetically interesting. And also you want like smaller footprints to not like tear tarp and stuff, probably. I don't know. The thing it does is when it scoops stuff in, it filters the algae, it basically catches the algae and then expels the water out the back, which none of us really made any like poop or piss jokes about last time, which is fascinating to me. Or I cut them all out, which is also very possible.
It doesn't sound like us, but yeah.
Yeah, not really a thing she would be operating under normal circumstances. Seems like she's been investigating something around here, though. But yeah, you get in, you turn the mech on, and can you reroll one die for me, since you got one clue? And now, as I should have also established, now anything from a 3 up will be a success, because we don't want an infinite regress of clues.
Well, that sucks, because I got a 1.
Okay, you still got 2 successes, so that's a full success. Mm. Good job. No, I read it every time. If two dice succeed, you do it well. Good job. I really like that text. That's just what it says in the book. So yeah, you get in the mech, you turn it on, you are capable. I mean, I don't know if you plan on just like fucking piling it out right now, or if you just wanted to like get a sense of how to run it. But like, yeah, what is actually
what's the goal?
Yeah, let's let you think about that while we return to the scene of the crime. The crime being scaring Claudia very badly. Pill, Claudia's freaked out. Damien is ashamed and distraught by the fact that he has accidentally dropped that Precious Moments figurine and it shattered all over the floor. Berrigan doesn't give a fuck, really. And what's your next move? I will say, I think by now, you also found a cellar door in that, in the place where y'all are, Roger and Marvin. And I'm assuming if you felt like it, you could have texted Pill, like, hey, I think we have access to underground.
Texted?
I thought we had texting in this.
I don't think we've ever texted each other before. Yeah.
Dude, yeah, I was going to say, I don't remember that, but
I don't think texting exists in this world.
Oh, sure. Yeah, just don't believe the person who's just listened to the entire season again. Yeah. Just go off your gut feeling from 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. like probably 5 years point, right? So
no, listen. If you want, this next week, I will go through and delete every instance of you texting each other from this podcast.
That sounds about, that's okay. So good.
We need a special edition the first season or whatever, exactly, so that we can, yeah.
The players.
So why am I, where am I in the house again?
You could also have sent a drone out to deliver this message if you've decided you are adamantly anti-texting for some fucking reason. you could turn on a goddamn live stream and like ping pill and have them.
It would be pretty cool if you could only communicate via that.
You fucking YouTubers that you don't think there's a damn tech scene in the world. sorry, Ricky, what were you saying? I was apoplectic.
Where am I in this house again?
Just in the living, like the central area, like living area. Yeah, just like right in the door. Everyone's there. So I imagine Cry there's like Twins. A fireplace in there, and I don't know why, but yeah.
So Cry Twins, have you texted me about the cellar door that we found?
It's been 2.5 years. Why don't we go with yes?
All right. Works for me.
if no one, I'm sure the can't remember either. So let's pretend.
I think Pill is standing there kind of in the emotional mess of Damien being distraught at the precious moments doll being destroyed and Claudia having passed out at seeing what she viewed as a ghost. And is Berrigan in the room?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Berrigan, are you good if I leave for a second and go check something out? Because Berrigan, I'm asking because I know that Berrigan is dealing with Damien and we were kind of helping the situation diffuse a little bit.
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm kind of in the situation, right? Like, Pill is in the situation, kind of like, and then I get the ping or whatever, like, hey, we found this cellar door. Also, maybe you include info about the mech you found, too, in that text.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I'm like, Berrigan, you got to hold down the fort for a minute. And I blink my hologram back into the dog and start trotting off to the barn where they are.
Cool. Yeah, Berrigan nods you along. Like, yeah, absolutely. Now I turn directly to you, listener. Will I be able to get away with the heist of not having to do Berrigan's voice this whole episode?
I think you really should. Because
I will.
That we get to see
only time will tell.
Don't say that to me, because I will try and orchestrate my story to result in Berrigan having an hour-long conversation with you.
I hate you all. Cool. I don't think there's any travel restrictions. don't need to roll the walk over there. So yeah, you're all back together. Haven't heard much from Roger. Does Roger have any motivations, any plans at the moment? Maybe this is a moment to sort of pause and think about how that critical success like started fucking with the Cry Twins. Do we want to do like a live stream sequence or something like that?
Yeah, Roger, do you want to
Yeah, so we, up open our cell phone that we text on all the time.
This whole time we text. Stop.
Start a live stream where we're like, we're with the mech and Pill's with us and things are looking good. No one suspects anything. Now we're going to find out what's going on with this mech.
Just to, since we're moving, I'm going to say, I think the way this plays out, right, is like, you basically stream snipe the Lacrims. Like, they had just, like, they had this big thing that they were, like, preparing, that they had, like, they're, like, big stream coming tonight at 5 p.m. or whatever. It's, like, 4:58. You put the stream up, and people are just like, oh, shit, what's going on over there? And just, like, they get half the viewership that they usually get because people are actually like finally paying attention to you since you like fake solved two mysteries finally. and you have like a real channel identity now that you've become paranormal investigators because some dice said so.
Were the Lacrims going to here to reveal this thing or is it that? Yeah.
I think they...
Or they just had a separate thing.
I think they have... They have a like... In my mind, they have, like... A stream that they're doing, like, a premiere. they've been down at the farmlands where they've been shooting a bunch of like drone footage, like of the farms, like, and basically making like a propaganda video, like a like edited propaganda video that's like, look at all of this, like, it's like, you know, it opens on shots of farms that are like productive, green, like mechs are growing like super well, and then it like zooms out, the drone shot zooms out, and we get like all of the extra space that is still there on the farmland that has been fallow because people just haven't been using it properly. And it turns into a film about like, we need to make our country shine, as they say, right? We need people down in these farms to like producing more large grapes, more mechs, more everything. And they like, yeah, they had, so they had this huge premiere all lined up about like the truth of like the farmlands, like the title of the video or something like that, right? There's a punchier thing. But then everyone gets a notification that the Cry twins are streaming from the farmlands, like in real time with real dirt. And so this like package video that they had put together immediately is just like, oh, like that's like, it immediately reveals the artifice of the situation. Don't get me wrong. They still have whatever, like 10 times as many followers as you do. It still gets out there and like is a pretty big thing, but they know immediately that, again, you somehow cut like half of what their expected viewership out, and because they're watching you guys.
Damn.
This game's fun. Shit. yeah. Would you like to take any actions, Ducky?
Well, do they immediately know who the culprit is?
Yeah, because you're streaming. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You're not streaming in incognito mode, I'm assuming.
Do we know that they're doing they had a planned event, or was it just sort of coincidence?
That sounds like a character decision to me.
okay.
I guess the question would be, would, in the middle of all that's been going on, would you still be checking in on their, like, their stream events? Like, probably what they actually did is, like, half an hour ago put up a coming soon, like, you know, banner thing with, like, a countdown on it. Would you have been checking in the last half hour to see what they were up to?
Yeah. I think Marvin would have checked, you know, on account of his keen eye. So I think we could do like a neener, like hey, Orzo and
Azo.
Orzo, that's
amazing.
Azo and Orzo. I don't remember why I named them that.
Orzo is particularly interesting.
And then why don't we throw a drone up there and do like a bird's eye view of us all just like doing like cool poses from the bottom.
Hell yeah. That is a fantastic scene. I don't really think it requires a roll. I think you're just doing that shit.
Just
like,
let it be. Yeah, just let it be.
Yeah. Well, because it comes out of the critical success that was, you know, passed along. Like, I think that fucking rips.
Right.
Pilly, should we get you underground? I feel like we should get you underground.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I mean, I guess they're doing their live stream and stuff. Maybe as they're doing their live stream, I just, in the background, open up the fucking thing.
The cellar?
Yeah. Or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. I almost feel, for some reason, I feel like Pill is kind of, like, myopically focused in this way. You know, just like, I just open the thing and I think I just jump down.
Mm-hmm. So you're not like, hey kids, you wanna join? You're just like, you're just in it.
Yeah, I'm like, this is the access we came here to find. I'm ready to get this done. Whatever that is. Like, I'm ready to see where this rabbit hole leads or something.
Yeah. Marvin and Roger, do you obviously see this. Do you feel like following Pill, or do you feel like following up on this mech, or going back to, I don't know, key Damien's car again?
Always fun. Always a good option.
Let's see what we can learn more about the baby. No, I think we should combine our forces. I think we should all be in the same investigative predator. That's what I think.
But wait, so where are you jumping into, Pill? The like the hatch like or something?
Cellar?
There's like a cellar door in the barn that you guys texted me about. And rather than like communicate to you both or whatever, I just am kind of like,
let's fucking go.
Going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool, I feel like we should film this subject, you know. We should live stream like, oh, they're diving down into the
Yeah, we have like a flashlight camera from walking behind you.
All the Periscope emojis floating up are like it's like shocked a bunch
emoji.
It's like shocked, it's heart, it's what's the best emoji to represent like, oh shit, they're going underground again?
Sunglasses? I don't know.
Oh, is there one that has like a little mining helmet on? Probably not.
Is there?
Totally. Like there a has worker, to be.
Like a worker one?
That might be like good. A Bitmoji or like a, you know, off-brand emoji thing, but it's been accepted.
Yeah. Who has the Goop phone? Because there might be one.
Shovel. Good.
Shovel. It's definitely shovel.
Shovel emojis just floating up from the bottom. Like, we saw you in the mines. You're going down there again. Oh shit, we got continuity in the streams.
Yeah, it's that one that Adam just did, and a shovel.
Mm-hmm.
Together. Yeah.
Similarly, when I make the hologram pop out of the dog, they do like dog and ghost.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Can we describe the emoji that Adam did? For the people who are not on this call right now.
Bruh, like a crumple face?
Bruh. Yeah. Which is not really what I expected that sound like, but...
Well, it was sourced by me, so... You know. It's kind of random.
Yeah, the bruh. I get it. No, there is a emoji that has a hard hat, but it's not like the, you know, just the face, the hard hat. That would be great.
There's like one of those popping up every like 15 seconds and people are just like, Jesus Christ, like get with the fucking wave, dude. Like, like it's shovels and weird face. Like, yeah, yes, that yes. Man yeah, with hard hat it. On and like yes. safety vest emoji. Is the one that people who are just complete squares are popping up. Anyway, so all three of you are going down. Roger, you're also invested in Fallen Pill, or do you want to
yeah.
break? I almost said, do you want to break up? Do you want to split up?
No, I'm going. I wouldn't miss this for the world.
Oh,
I think it's a. So I think it's a little bit deeper than we maybe anticipate. You know, like I jump down and I am like falling for a second.
Yes, a million percent. Yes. You know? Like not dangerous. You're 14 years. The two of you are 14 years old. Like you couldn't break a bone if you like you know took a hammer to one.
Pill like 1,000 years old or something.
Pill's in about, a robot body. Yeah.
Pill's about 200 years old. Yes.
Yeah,
you're still a dog robot, right?
Yeah, I'm in dog robot right now.
I only took that away from them for the second mystery, for that failure on the first one. So the dog came back,
which was appreciated because I was really leaning heavily on those dog jokes.
So, question: do we have a GoPro on Pill, like a GoPro for our live stream?
I think we've established that Pill's robot dog body, I think, like literally can just film from its eyes.
Oh
yeah, that
good.
Was a thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But Ducky also said we had some kind of camera following behind us too,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like a flashlight situation, and yeah.
But yeah, so we land.
Flashlight situation, my favorite third wave ska band, of course. Go on. Stupid.
I think as we're falling, like it's long enough to where like you can kind of sense the walls go from just like dark brown dirt to like that glowing like alginess, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Like when we were in caves before, we saw that like what was it that glowed and had like weird properties?
It was a rock. Like kind of like mineral.
Yes.
Like a Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
What? Like what?
Like guts or whatever.
Yeah, like Nickelodeon slime.
Or like the trophy you get on Legend of the Hidden Temple.
Sure. Yeah, there were the glowing rocks that were like, what were they? They were like light to pick up, but like could not be budged. a weird thing that they glowed, and like you could like lift them and they just felt like regular rock heaviness, but like had like some
struck them, they won't move.
Yeah, like they had like anti-inertia or something like that. I don't remember what the fuck we were on, but like yes, we did a lot of done a lot of things. Adam is squinting at the camera as though he's like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I'm really trying to make trying to be sense of it. I really shouldn't be doing that in this world. So.
Yeah, just to establish that this is like a similar environment to like other. Does that work?
I'm just like, there is a very specific thing that y'all found in the mines that I think you're thinking of, and I know it's in one of these documents that I have open, but I don't know which one. Got it. We have rewritten clue, something from nature, a glowing that is lighter than it seems unless struck. It's a rock that glows, that is, doesn't feel the heaviness of a rock, but when you hit it with something or you hit something with it, it suddenly becomes like immovable object type shit. And then at one point you were in a minecart, and you're right, there was like a weird veins of that weird glowing rock running through the walls. And at one point, you found a coded message which read, "The lowland rises, death is coming, bitch."
All right.
You could be making that up right now, and I wouldn't know.
No, because I said, the coded message said, "The lowland rises, death is coming." And then I believe it was Ricky, but I could also be convinced it was Ducky. Just appended bitch to the end of my statement.
I think it was Adam.
It could have been Adam also.
Yeah. It's not Adam, yeah. Let's go with Adam.
To be fair, that could have been all of us.
Yes.
For the record, it was Adam.
This thing that the listener has 100% already heard, like video evidence, or has audio evidence of what happened.
We're just remembering now, right?
So there was a sort of, you know, visual history of the sort of transition between regular rock and strangeness within rock that I think you are evoking here very well. Please continue. I'm sorry for the digression.
No worries. I appreciate the clarification. So maybe we kind of land, and maybe, I mean, in my head, it's just like where we land is almost like a concrete hallway, you know, like a hallway that was built.
It's a long fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Or maybe not.
Yeah, that's fine.
Maybe there is a ladder, also a way to actually get down there without jump, or maybe not. I don't know. But yeah, the hallway with the veins of these weird rocks also kind of in it, but you can't see at the end of the hallway. You can just kind of see what's in front of you from the glow of those rocks. Yeah, I just start walking forward.
Let's say a rope instead of a ladder. I think that's fun.
Yeah, rope is good.
And that could also theoretically be a way for the Cry Twins to get down without, you know, breaking everything in their bodies. If
yeah,
when it became a concrete room at the end, I was like, okay, well, I did say they're 14 and, you know, very durable, but a fall where you can watch
Let's
the gradations change.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
Cool. I did accidentally punt on the clue that Ducky found earlier. Before you two climb down the rope to the concrete box, as a reminder, you rolled a 3, which is a locked puzzle box. I'm going to go a little off script here and say that, Roger, you're handy. You like fiddling with things. My guess is you find whatever fantasy sci-fi equivalent of a Rubik's Cube the, you know, writer's room will come up with when this is adapted into a television show. And of course, I said when, as we all know, that's certain to happen. Max has already sent an offer. I was like, that's a little too late. Come
enough.
On. But I imagine, yeah. Oh, sorry, Roger, you are more than capable of solving a puzzle box handily. Does that sound right?
Yes. Yeah.
Inside of the box, you find a test strip, like a fossilized shell with a litmus test strip on it that you immediately put together is probably an old ass way of testing something, and that something might just be, you could put this together also, I think, A thing that would come in a vial. Yeah, like a little vial that you have.
Yeah, that we found in the car.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
Maybe you throw that in there and then descend down the rope ladder to meet up with Pill. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah.
Cool. Pill, you're in a concrete room with Marvin and Roger. What do you do?
I mean, I just start walking forward into the darkness because the hallway only leads in one direction. You can't see what's at the end of that hallway. In my mind, there's not a choice but to walk forward.
Roger, can I get a roll?
Yes.
This is going to be a detective roll. You are unprepared for it. And you... Handy's not really helpful. I guess the question is, does somebody help?
I guess a walking encyclopedia is not helpful.
Not here.
Yeah. Maybe no help this time.
Yeah.
That's 1d6 then.
Oh, shit.
Uh-huh.
All right.
We're doing detective, so you need over your... I hate these dice so much. You find a clue. Can you give me 2d6?
Yeah.
Oh my god, another clue? How can you find another clue? You just used a clue to find this clue.
No more clues.
2 and 6.
You... And what's that add up to?
8.
A haunting.
No. The only thing we've gotten more than a haunting. A business card.
Another fucking business card. Whose business card could this be?
Yeah.
It's going.
Who starts a business?
An excellent question.
Yeah,
I feel like in this world, you're born and given your first order of business cards. Like everyone has one.
I thought you were gonna say given a business.
That too. Yeah, why not?
Or mine, or whatever.
Again, canonically, you all were 4 years old in influencer school, so that does not sound completely off.
Yeah. No, it does. It's not real bad. It really isn't.
I'm going to be a little more open-ended with what this business card is than I have been in the past, because part of the fun is being extremely literal with that. But we will get back to that after you re-roll to see if you get a success or a failure. And now a 4, 5, or 6 would be a failure. Or sorry, a 4, 5, or 6 would be a success.
Just one die?
Yeah.
2.
You fail! I would like the same roll from Marvin before I give the clue and the way that this gets even more fucked up. No?
So, a single?
Never mind. I just realized that the way this gets fucked up is right in front of me.
Okay.
And also, I realized that I was doing the thing that GMs do when... You're running a D&D game campaign, and you go, can I get a perception check? And somebody goes, I fail. And you go, can somebody else give me a perception check? So I can tell you the thing that I wanted to 1, tell you?
1,000%. This is literally not how I want.
I was back in that brain, and I'm glad I caught it immediately. So, what's the order? Pill is clearly in front. Are you two side by side? Is one behind the other? One in front of the other?
I think we know that it's Roger's
Marvin's
in front
the caboose.
And I'm in the back. Yeah. We know that.
So yeah, Pill, single-minded in there, in pursuit of their quest, or maybe for some other reason, doesn't seem to see that a bunch of figures decked out in black handkerchiefs over their face with black beanies sprint past you. And through you, it does seem...
Most anarchists?
Uh-huh. And it seems that you may have discovered the origin point of the haunting. The way that this is bad is you feel them. You feel drawn to them. You feel compelled to follow them, and they are heading the opposite direction of the way Pill is going. This is obviously a character choice, but... There is something in you that's saying, like, simultaneously, for the mystery and for the content, I need to go back up, because something is about to happen outside. What do you do? Roger.
We need to go back up?
You have the feeling that these ghostly anarchists, they're to lead you somewhere important. Do you follow that feeling or do you keep following?
Oh, sorry, Pill. I think we follow the ghost anarchists.
Yeah.
Importantly,
that sounds right.
Marvin, you do not see any of this.
Well, then I have no opinion.
So, oh, Marvin doesn't see the ghost anarchists.
Yes.
I guess I don't have a keen enough eye. That's really what the issue is here.
But Pill, does Pill see it?
Unclear. Yes, so the question for you, Ducky, is does Roger, in this moment, and one of my favorite lines in all tabletop role-playing is Hadrian doesn't know he rolled a one, which is the person who's playing the character of Hadrian fails very badly at a roll, and so he goes, oh, well, like, how do I mitigate this? And then he realizes, like, oh, I didn't realize that, like, no one else, if we were transporting it here, you don't realize that no one else can see what's going on. You just have this compulsion. And I'm wondering if Roger is the kind of character who would just impulsively be like, Marvin, come on, we gotta go. Or if you would just single-mindedly be like, just turn around and start sprinting behind these anarchists.
told me to go.
Yeah, so. I mean, I think because of our brand, and I think we're still live streaming.
Absolutely. Like,
yeah.
one of the two can't just drop off. Like, we have an audience that cares about Marvin. So, yeah, I tell Marvin to follow.
Abandon the Marvin heads out there.
Yeah.
I love that
they're few and far between, but they exist. Yeah.
I love that you said we have an audience that cares about Marvin. No indication of your brother.
Yeah, you're fucking loving twin brother. Come on.
It's the peak of capitalism, baby. It's all about the brand.
It's all about the brand.
I love that if you were to have a heart-to-heart with your brother, you'd be like, hey, the audience really cares about you. Not as much as they care about me, but they really care about you.
But some of them care about you. you're like, you've got to pull
it's
through
the cry twins.
Cry twins.
We have merch.
Pill, what's the chamber look
like?
Come
on.
Yeah, so I feel like maybe I just don't notice that stuff's happening around me, that they've both peaced out, that those ghosts ran through me. I'm just focused. I mean, I almost feel like similarly, I'm being drawn to a thing in the way that they're maybe not the same way, but similarly, I'm being drawn somewhere. I think I realized that the reason why I couldn't see to the end of this hallway isn't because it's necessarily dark, but because there is like the darkness is like palpable. It's like almost like a jello or something. And I think the hallway's pretty long. Like, I think Pill stops for a second to feel this jello when they reach it, but then just keeps walking through it.
At what point does the darkness become green?
After you walk through it for a minute, it kind of gradually takes on that color before eventually it just all is.
And then how do you open the blast door?
I think I'm a bit confused, you know, because I'm almost like walking through the suspended liquid that is green. And I'm a little dog, so I can't, it's like hard to like reach the lever or whatever. So I pop out the hologram, and so I try to grab the blast door handle and turn it, but it doesn't really, it's not budging for whatever reason. It's not a strength issue. It's not like, it just won't move. But the ghost and similar ghost anarchists that had followed them out, but a similar group of them, all kind of, you see their hands all come up on the blast door together, along with my ghost hologram hands, and we all turn the handle together to like open it.
Perfect.
And it's less, like I said, it's less that I needed more strength and more that it's about like all of these wills coming together to do this thing.
No, it's more that it's about leverage.
It's about the scientific property.
So, yes, I 100%, yes, this is perfect, yes. Outside. Sorry, I just made you climb down and then back up a rope ladder in the span of like 2 seconds.
You're both.
Marvin and Roger, these ghosts emerge into the cellar, and first question, and they start leaving. First question, Ducky, you're still sort of compelled, but Marvin, Would you like to get in a mech?
So we ran out of the cellar. Mm-hmm. Mech is there.
Mech is still there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what would compel me to just, like, eradicate. Like, so I got pulled out of the cellar, but we were following somebody on a live stream and then, like, turned around kind of on a dime. And I'm like, okay, here we go.
This is, like, the most determined, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here, Ducky, but this is, like, the most determined you've maybe ever seen Roger about anything. He's not really, like, communicating very well, but, like, he's like, we have to do this now, you know?
Yeah, Roger...
pulled you out of the thing, right?
Yeah, Roger, like, was like, we gotta go. I mean, aren't we filming a pill? Like, I don't know what's happening. Mm-hmm. So, but as a follower, I just fall... right? I was like, okay. The brand, you know? But I don't know what would compel me to just jump into the mech, but why not?
That's fair.
Simultaneously, I don't really know. Like, the only thing that I would say is that if there's a big red button that I could push, I might be looking for some big red button inside the mech.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Maybe pills in danger.
There is a big red button, then you have it on your person.
Wait, what do you? Oh, it's me. It's with me. It's not inside of a mech.
No, you have like a little like a handheld button that you were told to push when pill is in danger.
Oh well, I mean, this might be it. Well, I guess if it's a button, it can be pushed more. Times, right? it's not like a resource like it's up, right?
And as well, so. Specifically, George told you that there would be a moment when Pill would be in danger and wouldn't know it, and that you would need to push the button.
All right, here we go.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna jump into the tech, but I'm gonna push the button.
Push the button and follow Roger. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, of course. Duh.
I think this is the moment, right? This is the shot. Maybe this is how I should have put it up first. As you are getting out of the cellar, you can hear the sounds of shelling happening and gunfire, right? The revolution that Miss Bo started to begin this mystery has already reached the farm. There are Lacrim decaled mechs sort of like flying past. Most of them are flying from farther out toward the city, but there is the sound of like small arms gunfire here and there, and like long like they're not shelling here, but some people are shelling from here into the city. Shit is popping off. Damien has peeled out and is driving to his bunker. Berrigan is like frantically making like 4 phone calls at the same time on 4 different phones and just like juggling them like yo. And Claudia is nowhere to be seen. Obviously, you push the button. Now, does Marvin get in the mech?
Yeah. I mean, now that I see the situation,
Sorry, I didn't mean that as like, now do you get in the mech? Like, you have to get in the mech, but like, yes.
Hey, dum-dum.
once I realized that what was happening in my head wasn't happening through my mouth, I realized that it had to happen through my mouth.
It's critical.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
In a situation with other people and then there's an audio recording of it. Yeah, dog, I forget that shit sometimes and it's a bummer.
Hey, being the narrator's a challenge. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's why you need to get Elon Musk's Neuralink.
So thank God George modified that button to kill Ricky in real life.
What?
I'm dead now. Yeah, what? Sorry, but...
not Pill. Ricky.
Yeah, me.
Yeah.
Don't worry, the character's still alive.
The Q Seppi coming in with a knife.
Yes. It was just a coincidence that I said it and then it did.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we are in montage mode because we are past our out. What do you two want? No, the Cry Twins are the stars. Obviously they get the end. Pill.
I don't know. Pill's pretty starry.
The souls that were trapped inside of the engine for the last 80,000 years help you come in. What does the room look like?
I think it's it's huge. It's a very big bunker that holds that engine from the Gateshead engine game.
Yes.
I think what I see is the room constantly dismantling and entering the engine like a black hole, mm-hmm. and then rebuilding itself and then doing it again. It just is constantly in flux.
Yes.
Like that.
I fucking love that. Thank you, Ricky.
Yeah. And I think maybe you see the people that were in this room too, the scientists, all their bodies are doing the same exact thing.
Yeah.
Like just constant fluctuation between together.
Those
and
who were not caught in the dream that were just part of the, yeah, absolutely. And yeah. It's
oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. The what there's, this is a genuine question, not a suggestion necessarily. Is it reconfiguring itself the exact same way every time, or is it like slightly different every single time?
I think it's slightly different each time, and at times unrecognizable, and that sometimes it mixes pieces in different ways, you know?
Yes.
You could almost think of it as like someone with a puzzle dumping all the pieces out on the ground, hastily reassembling it and then breaking it back down. But when you assemble it, you're kind of just like smashing it together, you know, not necessarily like being precious about where the pieces go.
Mm-hmm. When your mom arrives, how do you get back in the mech?
Me?
Yeah.
I think that like this thing's not like manipulating only physical matter. It just is manipulating things on like an emotional level, a time level, a like thought level, you know what I mean? And in this moment, one of the things it reassembles from all of this matter that it's constantly just fluctuating back and forth into these different pieces, one of the random things it lands on is the mech that is my mother.
Sorry, no. That's who Adam called with the button.
Oh, okay. That's badass. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how does it even get down there?
Fucking flew real fast. She knew you were in trouble.
That's really cool. I mean, in that case, I think it like zooms through the muck, zooms through the door, and the hatch is just open.
Just scoops you up.
You know, scoops me up.
No slowdown, straight into the room.
Mm-mm. Straight into the room.
Straight into the reconfiguring room. You know that she has ascended, but sort of stayed there. You'll recall, I'm sure, that you failed a roll in the first mystery that made it so that you would never be able to know whether Diana was also able to escape the sort of purgatory of the Echo Drive.
Yeah.
You do sense there is a presence in here. Still don't know, though.
Yeah.
When there's like two things I can see you doing here. You can tell me if it was something different. I can see you taking that power that you found, that you as a player described back in the Gateshead Engine game, that green glowing power rod energy that devours all that surrounds it, but is also natural, but has to be sort of refined into this process. I can see you taking that and bringing it up and doing your best to find a way with Miss Bo and Felucca to refine it into something that would be genuinely revolutionary, that would take the capacity of the people trying to overthrow the actual living fascists on and fucking like, it wouldn't be a you know, it's not a fucking golden gun in GoldenEye, right? It's not a one shot win thing, but like would give them productive capacity that would be instrumental. And I can also see you plugging yourself into it. And I think that would confirm to you what it is, and it would also devour. But you would be done. You would be done after 200 years, and you could rest, and I think maybe you could know that this thing, this hungry, ravenous thing, was in the hands of no one and could not be found maybe ever again.
I have a horrible third option that I've been thinking about.
Yeah? Fucking hit me.
Pill's consciousness is so old at this point that they've experienced like this cycle of fascist to utopian revolutionary to fascist to utopian revolutionary over and over and over.
And over, yeah.
And I think, I don't know, part of me, like with the way that I smushed the fascist, with the way that stuff has gone down, part of me almost wonders if a giant machine that just swallows the entire earth or swallows existence and spits it out into raw material might be the only way to truly defeat that cycle.
Oh my god, you fucking psychopath.
In sort of like that end of Evangelion way, you know, like yeah, primordial soup type
famous,
shit.
The famous end of Evangelion, where Shinji goes, the Human Instrumentality Project? Fuck yeah, let's go, boys!
Yeah, that's what he does, right? He's like, this is what I want. Me and my dad together.
Oh my god.
Also, that would kind of, I feel like that kind of robs the twins of having like a cathartic end or something, or like a good end to their story.
I think if you make this decision, it is not a thing that ends everything immediately. That's a project you work on in the background, and in a decade, I mean, it took Nonim and Dude like a hell of a long time to make this thing to begin with, right? Like, it was, they were working together for probably decades, and it's not done. You would have to go in there and work with them and finish their project, basically. And so I think we could, what I'm saying against my better judgment is that we could still have the Cry twins have their moment and just have it now in inflected with the idea that no one knows this, but in 10 years, Pill is going to kill them and everybody else.
Because it's also possible, I think that, I mean, if I have to go in there and work with Dude Inclusive and Nonim to do that, that's also, like, possibly a fruitless journey, too. You know, it's, but maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think there's a way for you, I don't think this is a button press, right? This is, like,
yeah,
finishing the job that they started.
Yeah.
And so maybe you wouldn't have to, like, specifically work with, I think if you inserted yourself into the thing, you would, like I said, if you inserted yourself into the thing, you could sort of lock it down and be gone. I think if you give it up to the revolutionaries, you could materially affect the world, but you would still be here. And like, it, to my mind, Pill's character arc has largely been, I'm fucking done. I've been through too much and I don't want to anymore, but maybe one more time, like one more fucking go around to end those fascists who have been plaguing me for literal centuries. The third,
or end them for literal ever.
And everyone else also. I think that's an extremely compelling thing, but yes, I don't think there's a way that we've set this up fictionally where like, it wasn't that the revolution happened that happened in Gateshead Engine wasn't happening at the moment when the project was about to complete. It was happened because Nonim had like fucking fallen down a bad, bad hole and become sort of soulless. And the obsession with work led to social disruption that was fueled by the hyper-capitalist like politics of Dude Inclusive, right? We never gestured toward that being like the moment at which it was either turn on the machine or blow it up.
Yeah.
Which I think being true to our fiction would mean that you have to continue working on the thing. And that means 5 years, 10 years, 30 years. You get it done. If Pill does the work.
In amount of time that's like, who knows how
yes.
long.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the direction I want to go.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. What does that look like?
I mean, I think it looks like me and my mech mom,
this game is good.
Like allowing ourselves to be absorbed into it. Maybe.
Right. You're not
or
just...
maybe it's like I want there to be just like a pregnant pause of sorts of me with the machine doing a thing, and then you maybe never see me again for the rest of the story.
And then the room decompiles.
Yeah.
Reconfigures. It's different. You're not there, but it's more. It looks more like Pill.
Yeah.
The room.
Yeah. Like, maybe we're still seeing those pulses of reconfiguration, but you're seeing me working on something. You're seeing, like, sure. people working on stuff. You're seeing the thing start to back up momentum. Mm-hmm. You're starting to notice, like, intention within that movement.
Not a thought in my fucking head that we would have ended up here. We are at time. I would love it if the Cry Twins, if you two could give me two shots of yourselves. One in the moment, like, what are you doing when this revolution pops off? And then one a few years down the line. I would like to see both of you just, like, what do you think it looks like in a year, 3 years, 10 years maybe? Apparently not, like, 50 years, because apparently then you'll just be you. Bill made a choice. That
well, nothing matters, I guess, you know?
Well, I mean, I guess, and to be also completely clear, when I say two shots, one of those shots could be in a couple years, one of you goes down and tries to investigate that thing that Pill was trying to find, and then we can make some other choices. Like, this is the reason that I did not expect this at all, but I know that in my mind, this game has always been about finding out who the fuck the Cry Twins were, because there were such interesting characters in the Echo game, and, like, I want to nail that down, right? Like, but yes, can you both give me just, like, a scene of what you're doing in the particular moment that we just left you in, or within the next couple of hours?
I mean, I feel like I can't speak for Roger, but I'm going to say that, like, you know, we stay with the brand. We go deep into reporting, mm-hmm. right? Like, you don't pass up an opportunity. Live streaming the revolution. The revolution uh-huh. will be televised. Uh-huh. You know? So, but maybe in this instance, I come out of the shadow of Roger and take the microphone and actually become full reporting Marvin and force Roger like. Have me be like the correspondent on the ground.
You start your own channel.
My heart.
Is that what you're saying?
No. I don't start my own channel. The primary Cry Twin through my breaking reporting of the revolution.
You're on the ground. You're actively like participating. You're not hanging back.
I push the button.
Marvin, push the fucking button, y'all. That led to the end of the world, but he doesn't know that yet.
Yeah,
he can be happy.
But that's the thing. Yeah, he knows. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe Marvin's over it.
That made me so happy. Roger, what are you doing in the moment, like the day of, like after you get out of the hole?
Yeah, so we get out of the hole. We're following the ghost anarchists. And for some reason, when you and Pill were talking about the sort of end of the world process, I was visualizing like snow, like static, and maybe like that's how it appears on the live stream. Maybe like it starts to happen like kind of quickly, but it's like kind of subtle. And then, so there's probably like a siren going off or something. And I'm just kind of standing there. I think I get out. I like run away from all this stuff because I want to live. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, absolutely.
I don't know, like 10 years from now, I guess I'll be 24, and I don't know, I'll be like professionally drone racing for like, you know, video footage. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I think I'll always wonder like what was in that cave, like what, because I think there was, I like, because I was right behind Pill, so I noticed the sort of like the hunger or like the sort of like moth to a flame attraction going on. And so, though I chose to leave, it'll always sort of be a unanswered question in my head about like what could have been, you know, how might my life be different if I didn't go out?
But you don't go back
to the cave.
Yeah. You just, you think about it, but you never like,
yeah. 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 Never go back. Yeah.
Cool.
Mm.
Yeah.
Damn.
I do like the image of a 24-year-old Roger just like zooping drones around, just like yeah, taking an edible and like winning a drone race. getting like $100 or whatever. yeah. What about Marvin? What's a future shot of Marvin? Any amount of time. Just yeah.
Oh, what is a future? What does I think that in the future Marvin has, you know, racked up an additional few million followers, as has Roger, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. with our two different styles of, you know, like we take advantage of as soon as things are happening with my keen eye, I turn it to reporting. So I become a revolutionary reporter, like on the revolution itself.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings me much acclaim and fame throughout the world, and obviously riches beyond our wildest dreams.
Uh-huh.
So much so that we can use our influence and money to disparage and denigrate the reputation of Black Rim Quins.
Mm-hmm. Very important, very important.
I love that it's still the goal in the future.
Oh, it's not the goal to succeed at doing in the future. This is the resolution of mm-hmm. our story arc.
Uh-huh.
is that we leave the Black Rim Twins crying. Like literally what this has all been about for me. So and to step out of the shadow of Roger. Just a little Pulitzer Prize. Just a little, like 10% of content creators on YouTube. And, you know, destroying our rivals. I don't know.
That's what they started handing out the Pulitzer Prize for, is like how well you own your influencer rivals in the future. That's what they gave it to Kendrick for, too. So
that's true. You know, that's true.
You know, that is true.
You know, that is moments of true beauty and true goofy and true fucked up horror, and there is nothing I could ask for more than
just Marvin Cry over uh-huh. here.
that is everything we have done, everything I have strived to do, and you and all of you have like really fucking put a button on it, and I'm so fucking happy to have made this thing with you guys, and I love you all very much, and I'm not crying.
Good. It's your birthday. You shouldn't be crying.
It's your podcast, and you can cry if you want to be.
Yeah, it's true. Actually, that'd be a good way to like intro, just like softly.
I am really happy that we finished the story.
Me too. And
honestly, I know we had to go into montage mode, but given that this session was kind of picking up the last chunk of the last session anyways, that almost is probably going to, I won't say it'll work because this has what works, but uh-huh. it feels like it does work in that sense, you know, for us to go into montage mode for that end.
And that's it. That's Island Meter. That's season 2 of Island Demeter. That's Rue Detectives. We fucking did it, y'all.